You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
KiCycle is a community composting and urban farming project. So we started in 2015 as an urban farm, then took on a composting initiative that had actually been started by another group. They kind of married really nicely together as a whole. You've got your service that brings compost in, and then you've got your farm that actually uses that to grow food to go back into the community. Anything to add?
I think that's what we are.
Yeah. Sweet. Cool.
You mentioned community composting there and urban farming. Would you be so kind to explain to the listeners what community composting is and what urban farming is?
Community composting, internationally, there's a book called Community Composting and there's a whole chapter on how you might define this. But I think for us, it's the community, so that's the people that produce the waste, are themselves able to interact with the system that disposes, processes, and then reuses it. So it's keeping it close enough to them and within their realm that they can reinteract with that resource later on. Like, so community recycling doesn't look like shipping it to Malaysia. Community recycling would be keeping it locally and then reusing that locally.
You can benefit from it locally as well.
Yeah. And so urban farming then is once again, it's close by. You can walk to your farm, interact with the food, with the farmer, and understand how it all works because it's hyperlocal. So it's trying to hyperlocalize these systems again so that the communities are actually literally part of it.
What would you say the benefits of having a community composting system and even urban farms are? Because they're not something that seem particularly prevalent in Tamaki Makaurau or even Pōneke from what I understand, but why should they be prevalent if they should be prevalent?
That's a pretty big question, but I'll start with one point, which is we need to return soil nutrients that grow our food, and once they're in the food waste, we need to return that food waste nutrients to the soil so that we can continue to grow food. At the moment, all our food nutrients are being imported, you know, from outside cities mainly. But we're seeing, you know, massive loss of soil, degradation of soil and ecosystems in these food growing regions because of the way we currently grow food, in line with conventional agriculture. And we need to start looking at other ways to feed our urban populations because, you know, the urban population continues to rise. And so using these soil nutrients to turn urban spaces into productive food growing soils is really critical. And community-centered composting is the best way of doing that because it has so many other benefits as well. It's more like systems thinking approach rather than a waste management issue where you might be trucking all your food waste to one spot, processing it, and then churning out, you know, vast volumes of this stuff. So by keeping communities leading it and at the centre of it, we can make smaller batches of really, really high quality compost that is, you know, really traceable, and you can, yeah, then use it to grow your own food.
I think the other part is that by doing this as a community, you're actually building community. I think a lot of what we're talking about here has been building for some time as a reaction to our ecosystems collapsing, to things breaking down. And so not only are we trying to rebuild systems and build resiliency, but to do that we need communities to come back together and people to reconnect. And these projects are places where that happens. As soon as you create this urban farm, this little sanctuary, people come there and are happier and engage with people that they would have never engaged with before. And we're going to need stronger communities in the future as things change and we have to reimagine our cities.
So reframing yourself as from a consumer, which we've been told and identified as a consumer for the last, you know, few decades, re-identifying ourselves as citizens and members of like a wider ecosystem and a member of a community, active members of the community.
What do you reckon's led to this kind of collapse of ecosystems and or collapse of communities? That's a huge question. And apologies to ask it while you're drinking. But what would you say, especially maybe on a local level? So let's look at Pōneke, for example, Wellington. What three things do you think possibly have most contributed to this?
So I guess there's, at the most broadest scale, it's biodiversity loss, climate change, and freshwater security, really. It was all three of those, once they start going, and we're seeing them to start go. biodiversity loss, you can't pollinate, but we know that diversity is security or is strength in an ecosystem. And we're losing biodiversity because there's also a spiritual or a cultural disconnection with the land. And so that has distanced us. And so we think that we're gods now, that we control the environment. And so we destroy it, which is destroying biodiversity, which arguably is all that climate change is. Climate change is just us pretty much killing everything and releasing all the CO2 into the atmosphere. And so really it's just us thinking that we're gods, I reckon. And we've just been treating these systems with such disregard that now those systems are beginning to bite back. We've been in this buffer zone for 50, 100 years, and now that buffer zone is coming to an end.
But even just living in the city though too, I mean, you have this, because you have the disconnect between nature and the land and the environment, it's really easy to separate yourself out from that because you're not connected with that. And so, which means that you are 100% reliant on a food source, even just the pathways around that, how we obtain our food, we lose. And so how do we relearn where our food's coming from? Where is it local? Is it, you know, in the coming from the wider regions? If you just look at Wellington, there's really, there isn't any food being grown within the city. But when we have an earthquake, that wakes people up and brings us to our attention and saying, actually, we're not resilient in the least bit. We're reliant on the outside sources, being food shipped in or whatnot. And so how do we start changing that and start talking about that to reconnect people back to the land and back to the food sources, which brings in the whole wider environmental aspects of everything and the biodiversity that comes into play. So. Which leads into a systems-wide. if you want to work on it, you gotta look at the systems-wide approach.
So even though, I mean, these kind of unnatural ways of living that are so out of kilter with how natural ecosystems work, they're just really normalized, you know, in our cities. Like, people in Wellington aren't necessarily all bad. It's just this is the normal way of living that we've been conditioned to and acclimatized to. So it's just like trying to raise awareness of actually... And awareness is being raised. You know, people are concerned about biodiversity loss. Kids are like, yeah, I don't want to put plastic in the ocean. What's up with that? So it's like keeping these conversations alive, and we're relearning how to live in harmony with natural ecosystems.
Yeah, I think that's really important. No, like, we actually don't have the answers necessarily. Like, no one's here to be like, this is the answer, but we need to work together to come up with new systems to live in our cities.
We can always live better. We can always improve. Yeah. So we've got some great friends up here in For the Love of Bees and OMG. So we recently started collaborating with those guys and also Cultivate Christchurch and Biologics, Biological Farming Mentor, to start gestating this thing called the Urban Farmers Alliance, which is a nationwide network and support kind of platform where these community composting and urban farming projects can be connected, learn from each other, and just try and work towards getting this movement going and helping new composting hubs and urban farming hubs popping up around Aotearoa, and just spreading these benefits of delivering on climate change ready value, building climate change resilience at the same time as building food security for our communities. So we've come up to support OMG and For the Love of Bees and New Zealand Box, launching their new compost hub, which has received some government funding. So they're looking at developing a compost collection system similar to KaiCycle up here in Tamaki Makaurau, and using that to fuel their farm. So they had a launch party last night, really cool. Also, we're doing a big publicity kind of, we're trying to help with this publicity push to help encourage the Auckland Council to investigate the merits of community composting initiatives further. They're looking at getting an anaerobic digester instead to chow through the city's food waste and turn it into energy, and thus undermining our food security. So we're trying to help.
Yeah, and we're not actually from Tamaki Makaurau, and obviously, but apparently you can submit on the zero carbon kind of vision policy and just flood that with saying, well, if we want a zero carbon future, we need to sequester carbon into our soils, and so we can't have an anaerobic digester running, and hopefully the people up here can can stop this beast from being built. I guess, yeah, we also came up with massive compost nerds, so it's good to just share the latest lingo and learnings in the community composting space, because yeah, there are not many of us out there at the moment, but hopefully maybe there's some listeners out there that are keen to have their own hub on their street, and so yeah, to reach out to us and try and build more of these communities around the country.
It's also been great to visit the other community gardens around the place. Like, there's just so many more up here, and the ones that we've visited, you know, they're just great spaces. They're bountiful and thriving. We visited Kalmana yesterday and the Dignan Street Community Gardens, and looking forward to seeing a few more. So it's just cool to see, get some learnings to take home, get some inspiration, meet some cool people in these areas.
Say, if you have one goal for between now and this time next year, one for the 3 years and one for 5 years, what would those goals be for KaiCycle or for you as individuals in this realm?
It's probably easier to start at the 5 year, and that would be an urban farm and a composting hub every kilometre in every city in the country. Because if we can do that, we're pulling all of the food waste out of our landfills and sequestering that carbon in the soil. And the amount of carbon that you're sequestering is pretty astronomical at that scale. I guess then the 1 and 3 year goals is some sort of pathway to get there. I think for us at KaiCycle, that would be seeing our urban farming space really becoming really productive and having really good farming systems. And Jake is likely to join us to help see that vision occur. And also kind of duplicate our systems in Pōneke, and kind of have, I guess in the next 3 years, it'd be great to have maybe 10 of these hubs running really well in the city and really visible.
And have all these new, composting experts from that, who can then start up other hubs. And so you get this kind of exponential growth, and it becomes really achievable to have a hub every kilometre, because you've got all these people who know how to do it and support their own communities. And
I think that it's this whole trying to make a difference within the urban agriculture scene is a really fascinating time currently right now, because you look at urban agriculture within the cities, and people don't realize that this is an industry in itself. They don't necessarily see that this is actually something that's real, that they actually can do as a skill or a role that they can get into. When they think of farming, they think of the rural areas, if they go out there, sheep, beef, all of that area, but not something that is close by to them or actually can go and learn these aspects of it. So, you know, within that plan, it's like, well, how do you show the general public that it is a realistic thing? You are community involved, you can meet a lot of people, you can upskill yourself and possibly see it as potential jobs and income source, you know, whether it's a side hustle or whatever, or to dabble in what it is. And so within that, it's the education is absolutely core to this. You know, if we want to have more urban farms in the city, we have to make it realistic for those individuals, whether in their backyards or families, or and have the farms as a hub for individuals to go to access this information, to be trained in this, for the basics of composting, and then going into growing food and then establishing that and spreading it.
This is another very broad question. However, I was wondering whether I could get each of you, if you think it's possible, to define community.
Who wants to go first?
Oh, I can have a hack first. I guess the first thing that jumps to mind is, it's beyond just people, isn't it? But you could say it's just humans. But I guess it's a network of people nested inside a wider ecosystem, and this group of people and this ecosystem are interacting really productively to create this whole that's greater than the sum of its parts, and is nurturing everyone involved in that network, and creating value for everyone, if whatever that is, like if that's health outcomes, or just optimism, or you're creating a local economy, so you're trading time and maybe food and getting your value that you need to live your best life that way.
Yeah, What a question. I guess there's a project in Pōneke called Common Unity, and I think they found that name from community, that there is this unity, but you have to have a common thing there to bring you together. And that's what I was kind of alluding to earlier, is that we need something to connect us, and food is a really good way of doing that. Mm. If you put food on the table, everyone will come and sit down. But I've also been thinking a lot about that you can't artificially create communities. It's not, when you say, oh, I'm going to build a community, it's kind of a fallacy. It's, to me, it's something that has to grow organically, and it's done through nurturing relationships, and it's done face-to-face, and it takes time, but eventually you find that commonality between each other, and when you do that, you work cooperatively, and there's unity. You're there, you're looking after each other.
Mm-hmm. It's really what it's all about, eh? It's really trying to find, you know, being part of a central theme or central group that you're always with, whether you're traveling around or living in different locations, you always want to try to find a group that you associate yourself with. But and so you, like what Common Unity has done, it's like, well, you find the association, you find multiple things that come off it. And so, you know, they're doing multiple projects, and you're able to work within that group to find and help strengthen yourself and how you want to grow. That also supports everybody else around you too, you know, so you start having those deeper, meaningful interactions with one another, you know, to help educate one another, upskilling yourself, and making a greater impact than you normally would than by yourself in any situation, which is really a necessary need in a huge need in the cities, where we can get disconnected at that. You know, where is our community hubs? We have to find our place within that. Whereas if you go to a smaller community, say like Raglan, you know, you could just kind of, you can find those because it's a smaller community overall. So it's just more a village. But like going to Wellington, where do you, how do you find that? And it really wraps down to food. Food is a common core that everybody is associated with. So how do they interact further with that? And how do you make those impacts?
I guess that's like, I don't know, the dream of what community can be, right? Kind of what we described. And you've still got community if you, you know, in your existing groups. But like, I guess there's always ways you can grow and make that community more nurturing and regenerative. So it's that's just a cool journey in your whatever communities you might already be in, and what communities that you could become part of. We all can, yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.